Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And we've got a very monumental show this week.
That's right. Well, we can't actually sing happy birthday because I think that's copyrighted and you get sued for
that. Right. Yeah, we don't want to sing that on the air, but this is our official 1 year. We started our first show
a year ago this week, actually.
Yeah, and it's not 52 episodes. We're at 58 episodes.
We did a couple of these aberrant internet-only segments where we just swore a lot and vented about things.
You may remember them if you're a long-time listener of the show.
It's a while back, because then we just stopped doing them.
Right, and we did the internet-only segment.
Yes, so we just moved that to the single segment in the middle of the show. Used to have these long ones, which is why the number counting is off. We're not bad at numbers.
We really have only been on for a year.
Yes, only a year.
Yes, so we're celebrating our 1 year anniversary. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
We're also going to get to a huge weight loss related contest that we're having. That is going
the big fat weight loss contest.
It is going to result in some shenanigans this year at Comic-Con for all of you Comic-Con people.
But first, how do you get a hold of us?
First, you can get us at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys at the Movies and we pop right up. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, area code 614-388-8735. If you're the person that called earlier this week, we had one, and it was while I was sitting here, so it popped up on my computer screen. And
did you answer? Go,
hello? I did not answer it.
I want to talk to the fat guys at the movies.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
you've woken
you're
me
not
up.
On the
what
air.
Time is it where you live? I'm going to call you at 3 o'clock in the morning where you live.
Well, you do capture the phone number, so we do have the phone number.
We do have the phone number, so we can call you back.
Did they say anything?
They didn't leave a voicemail. You actually have to wait and leave a voicemail, people.
Yes.
I mean, what's the point?
But anyways.
Because we're not going to answer that phone. It's not a normal phone.
It's a magical phone. It's in the magical studio in the sky.
So, all right, moving on.
And moving on, happy birthday to the fat guys. Happy birthday to us. We now have cake in the magical studio in the sky.
We almost did milkshakes again. I wanted to do milkshakes.
Well, but the reason is we actually have rice cakes because we are doing a weight loss challenge.
With chocolate on them.
Yeah, it's not a lot of chocolate. It's not like I have like 8 ounces of chocolate on top of the healthy 40-calorie rice cake.
It's good chocolate.
So it's old, too. It's been sitting in my cupboard forever.
Oh, but awesome.
We have these because we are the fat guys, but we do need to get a little healthier.
We've decided that we're too fat.
So we don't die before the second anniversary show.
Right, from, so we can live to, you know,
from heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, all these awful things that can happen from being
we have
fat.
To live long enough to enjoy the cocaine and prostitutes that we'll be able to buy when we're rich and famous.
Okay. Oh, okay. Can you explain that to my wife?
What?
Yeah, the whole cocaine.
No,
I don't care
understand.
About
at that point. She'll understand.
She'll understand. She'll be like, you know,
she'll
what?
Have like 3 houses in 3 different awesome countries, and she'll be like, I don't really care what he does anymore.
Yeah, if only.
This
anyways.
Is how the mind of a bachelor works. Yeah,
exactly, because that's how. Yeah, didn't we have this discussion about women telling you something and you know that what they tell you is
it
not.
It means the exact opposite.
Opposite, yeah.
Apparently.
We are on, but we are on the weight loss challenge. We've weighed in. You can go to Film School Rejects. To find out about who's doing what. And
Brian's in on it, too.
Brian Gibson from Film School Rejects is also in on it. And since it's a 3-person deal, the one who wins, and we're going by percentage of body.
Whoever loses the most percentage of their weight.
Yes. Will win. And then the other two must, are we going to release us? At Comic-Con in July, the two least losers are going to have to act out the final scene of There Will Be Blood on the street in San Diego.
With real milkshakes and a real...
Real milkshake and a rubber bowling pin.
Yes. So if you've seen There Will Be Blood, which comes out on DVD here in a couple weeks, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. One of us will be drinking the other's milkshake. So with that...
And I'm eating my rice cake.
Your rice cake. So because we're both trying to... I actually had some pie, too. Because I want to give Kevin...
Some. You had two pieces.
I want to give Kevin a head start because I'm going to win this thing hands down. It's not even fair. I will take illegal drugs if necessary.
Neil will inject himself with cancer in order to lose weight.
We're getting an email about that. Don't make fun of cancer.
Oh, come on. You can make fun of cancer.
I make fun
the
of everything.
Kids in the hall made fun of cancer. The fanboys aren't allowed to make fun of cancer.
Right,
the Weinsteins
Harvey Weinstein doesn't like
Harvey that. Weinstein has put the kibosh on cancer jokes.
Yeah. So, but we'll talk about that in our sound off segment. That's one of my big topics.
Okay, okay.
But first, we need to get to Run, Fat Boy, Run, which is our first movie.
Which has nothing to do with cancer. But it does have to do with fatness. Although, okay, well, the first movie, yeah, Run Fat Boy Run, Simon Pegg stars as a wobbly slacker who tries to win back his rail-thin girlfriend by running a marathon.
You have been trying to get through to Libby for 5 years now.
What is her problem?
You left her at the altar when she was pregnant.
That was ages ago.
Women remember that stuff.
Sick of the regret I feel every day because I didn't have the guts to marry the woman I love.
Dennis, this is wit.
Seriously, what do you see in him?
He's a good man. He runs marathons for charity, for Pete's sake.
Libby, I can change. I will run the marathon.
What?
The one that Wit's doing, I'll run that, and I'll finish it.
Come on, you've never finished anything in your entire life.
Now, my question on this one is, and I am stealing a bit from IMDb because I saw this phrase this way. If Simon Pegg's fat, what does that mean about Nick Frost, who usually is in movies with him, like
right.
Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead? This guy must be gargantuan. Oh, is that what it is?
Obese.
Obese? Is he morbidly obese?
Morbidly obese.
Okay.
But he's not that fat. I met him. He's a nice guy.
No, but he's a heck of a lot thicker than Simon Pegg. Simon Pegg is not fat.
Right.
I don't, any world, he's maybe
yeah,
out of
shape.
Yeah,
they puff out his belly a little bit, make him look a little chunky. But
he just kind of looks like that, the sort of like the celebrity that's pregnant. That's kind of what he looks
like.
It
should have been Run, Lazy Boy, Run.
Yeah, but Fat Boy sounds yeah. better.
But speaking of Simon Pegg, he really is the whole, I enjoyed this movie, and he's the reason why. Him and the other guy. Who's the other guy?
I have no idea what his name is. I sent an email to the publicist today saying what I thought about it. I had to look him up, but it's like David Ornton or something. Like that.
Yeah, so the guy who plays his friend,
no
plus
idea.
Hank Azaria. This is one of those movies that really, there's not a lot of substance there, like, but it really hinges on the awesome performances or Simon Pegg's ability to make us laugh. I think that's all it is, and it works really well.
You take lesser actors and you put it in it, it would not have been that good of a movie.
Right.
Are you done chewing? You eat your rice cake? Well, right. And this is the thing. In terms of Simon Pegg, the movie reminded me a lot of Death at a Funeral, not just because it's British, but because it was funny. But it got funnier at the end, and it hinged on certain performances, like in
right.
Death at Funeral, Alan Tudyk and Peter Dinklage. Whereas this movie, Simon Pegg was golden in it, and his friend, whatever his name was that we forget.
We'll look it up.
And Hank Azaria were great, and it was David Schwimmer's directorial debut, but I think he just got out of their way and let him be funny.
Right, which is good enough. You know, why not?
So I say it rocked.
I say it rocked as well.
Well, kind of rocked. Actually, I'm going to say kind of rocked.
I say it totally rocks.
The next movie we're going to talk about is superhero movie. It's a spoof. It's about superheroes, and it's a movie.
Who am I? I'm Dragonfly.
Stop!
The story of my life is not for the faint of heart.
Stop the bot!
7 genetically enhanced super dragonflies.
But there's only 6 in there.
Take cover!
Uncle Albert!
With great power comes...
Hey!
Just try to breathe.
I can't. You're kneeling on my crotch.
We don't have much time, so I'm just going to say...
They didn't screen it.
They didn't screen it, so it sucked.
It sucked. So there you have it. We'll go to break. We'll be back in a minute. So Kevin, I wanna revisit this superhero movie thing for 1 second.
Okay.
And just let everybody out there know that we didn't screen it, so therefore we said it sucked. But we are going to see it.
I'm taking my kids.
Going with you.
Am I pregnant?
Well, because we're going to the movie tavern, which is awesome.
Which is awesome.
And we're gonna I'm gonna be getting drinking very early. Are we going to the 11 o'clock showing?
No, we gotta interview this guy.
Oh yeah.
The director of Snow Angels.
Yeah, David Gordon Green.
Yeah.
Who's awesome. Directing Pineapple Express.
But we're not interviewing him about that.
But we're going to ask him about it.
Okay, fine. Ask him about it. All you want, dude.
But no, we are going to see superhero movies. So if you're around over the weekend, check out filmschoolrejects.com. There will be some reviews up. It'll be great. It'll be fancy. But let's talk about some other movies that I've seen. I would like to make note that I have seen just as many movies as you this week.
That's true. Well, you still got a ways to go to make up for it, but I do commend you on the fact that whereas last week I think I said you are the worst film critic ever.
Yes, worst ever.
Ever. Ever.
Yes. I've now resurpassed Richard Roper. I've left him in the dust once again. And the actor from Run, Fat Boy, Run that was so awesome, his name is Dylan Morgan. And he was also
in Morgan Sean. Or Moran?
Moran, I'm sorry. Dylan Moran.
You just blew that one, too. You were going to sound like really intelligent for a second there.
No, I looked it up on IMDb. There's nothing intelligent about it. He plays Gordon, the friend. He was also in Shaun of the Dead.
Mm.
He absolutely hilarious. So there is some male nudity in it, though.
Well, there's also...
It seems to be a theme. Wait till you see Forgetting also, Sarah Marshall and Harold and Kumar, all male nudity.
Well, and Simon Pegg's running around those super short shorts, which brings up, this is a complete aside, but have I not been...
When have you ever been on point?
Yeah, exactly. I was at the gym, in my weight loss challenge, I was, and they have these cool little things where you can, they have a TV like on the elliptical cross trainer thing that you can plug into your earphones, you can watch, and it's really kind of cool.
Right.
And I was flipping. I never watched this stuff, but I ended up hitting the Spike TV United Fighting Challenge Extreme or whatever it is.
Right.
And I'm watching it, and it is cool because you just literally see people just beat the holy crap out of each other, which I find very funny.
Right.
Because you're just like, they have to be getting brain damage from this. But they usually are wearing trunks. It looks like actually like swimming trunks. They're fighting trunks, but they're long sort of. That real hip sort of camo pant type thing.
Right.
But sometimes they don't. Sometimes they wear like really tiny little Simon Pegg bikini briefs.
Right.
And it gets really homoerotic because they just like roll around
it's
on
like
each
300.
Other. Yeah. Like I mean, I'm watching this thing and you're like, yeah, punch in the face. No, oh, now that doesn't look right. And they're like, oh, he's got him in a bear hug. And you're just like, no, I'm uncomfortable. And so like this uncomfortable pause comes over the audience. They're like, yeah, yo, okay. Okay. Oh, then they broke the, then they get all riled up again when they start actually punching each other.
Right. What are we even talking about?
I don't know. We were talking about.
Oh, 21.
Yes, 21.
Back to the movies we have seen. 21.
We both have seen.
Is about a group of MIT students that learn to count cards in Vegas and go from nerds to awesomeness, just like that.
So is this some kind of a math club?
You ever studied blackjack?
Are you talking about counting cards?
I'm talking about getting very, very rich.
Welcome to Vegas.
I'm just doing this to pay for school. $300,000 and then I'm out.
Oh, I get it. I completely understand.
We're counting cards. We're not gambling. We're following a specific set of rules and playing a system.
Hold at arms, table's hot. Blackjack.
We stay under the radar, and that's why we never get caught.
21.
You
is
set
a
me
movie.
Up with that lead in, by the way.
Well, it has nothing to do with Michael Bay, but awesomeness did ensue.
There is awesomeness related to this movie. Some.
I think you like 21 more than I did. My biggest problem with 21 was, and it's not that I don't think that this happened, because it is based on a true story and everything, and that people did go to Vegas, but all the detail in it is just so ridiculous and silly and over the top. And like, for example, they're like, we need to stay under the radar. And so then like, they like, this is how they stay under the radar. They never wear disguises, even though they said they are going to.
Mm-hmm.
And they always like do this really obvious, hey, look, the table's ready to go. And whenever the guy wins, he goes, what did he say? Winner, chicken dinner. And you're like, that is not staying under the radar.
Right.
And like, there's a scene where Lawrence Fishburne plays the security guy. And he's looking at the team. He's like, this guy's at the same table every time. And he always wins. And he's like next to the same four people all the time. And he always wins. And they always put their hands behind their back right when he starts winning. And I'm like, I've been to Vegas. And you can pull this off if you're subtle. And then when I looked it up and I looked about the MIT counting cards team, and this happens over years. And they refined it and they had wins and losses and everything. And even if you count cards, you're still going to take hits on the table.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of flash to it. There's a lot of fluff, a lot of Cool Whip moments in this film.
Good words.
For me, there were a few solid performances. I like Jim Sturgess in the movie.
He's the main guy.
Main guy. He was the one from Across the Universe. British guy.
The main British white guy who played the Asian.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's the other thing. They're all. In fact, this is a good point. I read there. The real MIT kids, they were all Asian kids.
Right.
And somebody made a point. One of the kids made a point, and they said, white kids from the suburbs coming in and winning a lot of money looks a little suspicious, but like for some reason, Asians come into casinos all the time.
And well, that's because it's a big tourist thing.
Exactly.
You know, so it would and be less suspicious. And they can hide behind
just saying, I can't speak English, you know what I mean?
Exactly. But I thought Kevin Spacey was okay in the movie, but it wasn't the best part for him. It really wasn't the best part for any of these guys. It's one of those movies where you can tell the book was really good.
Yeah.
But the movie didn't translate very well. And it's like, some people will get caught up. It's a popcorn movie to a certain extent.
Some people
will get caught up in the flash. But when
Which there's a considerable amount.
When you go digging for substance here, there's none there. And if that's what you're in it for, you're going to be sorely disappointed. But if you just like a flashy, fun movie, this one will at least pass the time.
And to me, they try to put twists in there, and they were just like, just saw right through him.
What was your line?
I said I thought it was like I saw him coming like a Mack truck.
Yes.
Yeah.
So don't get run over.
Yeah.
I guess.
But I'm gonna have to say sucks.
I'm gonna say kind of sucks because I saw some visual elements that I liked. It was kind of cool, kind of flashy. But
okay. Let's move on to the next one.
Nothing flashy here.
This is Stop Loss. Kimberly Pierce's sophomore effort about a soldier home from Iraq who goes AWOL after being denied a discharge.
Brandon Leonard King?
Yes.
You have orders to report to the 1st Brigade?
Not me. I'm getting out today.
You leave on the 22nd, shipping back to Iraq. You've been stop lost. Get
up, get out. I ran over 150 combat missions, no complaint.
I honor my contract and I expect the Army to do the same.
What the hell's happened to these guys?
With a shortage of guys and no draft, they're shipping back soldiers who's supposed to be getting out.
This is the first time you saw it, right?
Yeah, I missed it at South by Southwest.
Did they show it at Sundance?
No.
My biggest question is, why does it take this woman 11 years to do another movie?
Well, like I said...
What is she doing? She's like, I got a lot of Crosser words to do.
She's
Crosswords?
Yeah, she's a cause head. She's into those causes. I mean, you remember her last movie was Boys Don't Cry, where Hilary Swank played the dude-ish that got killed. But anyways, this one, it's a movie that wants to make a political statement, I think.
Wants to. It does. It has a huge four or five statement. Scenes where they preach.
The problem is that it is really overblown.
Yeah.
The characters are cliches of themselves, almost, where, you know, you have this group of soldiers that they all come back and they're all messed up from the war and they're all like... just out there being good old boys, shooting up stuff and doing bad things. And you're sitting there like, I know people that came back from the war. Not everyone comes back this messed up.
Yeah, very few, in fact.
But, you know, even if they do, I don't think this one really tells the soldier's story in a very accurate light.
Well, this reminded me
a
lot.
It's really tough to say, though.
This reminded me a lot of In the Valley of Ella, where they basically, the thesis is, all the soldiers are, you know, crazy, one step away from murdering, rapists, wife-beating, alcoholic psychopaths, and everyone's like that. And
right.
It's because the war did it to you. And I'm like, there have been wars. Wars, since the beginning of time, war has been hell. And war is always dirty, ugly, and terrifying. And you can't tell me that, like, the trauma soldiers felt like in World War II was any worse or better than the trauma soldiers are feeling out? Because it's still devastating and awful and horrible. And,
right.
And people survive and people come back fine. And you know people from all stages of war. And I think it's a very anti-American soldier movie. And part of the thing is the purpose of it is supposed to be talking about stop loss and how some soldiers are being brought back into...
Right.
They're not being let go.
Term, they're being sent back.
Yeah, And the thing is, if you want to make that point, you want to bring up that issue, that's fine, but don't debate the purpose of the war. Debate the
right.
stop loss
issue. I think ultimately if she wanted to make a real film about the issue, it should have been a documentary.
Yeah.
This one, if you look at it as complete fiction and narrative, it's an okay movie. It was a lot better than I thought it would be. But
I thought it redeemed itself at the end.
When you try and mix the two, it just didn't work. So I'm giving this one a kind of sucks.
I kind of have to say suck.
Okay, cool. Well, then we're moving on to the next segment. in a moment.
So, Neil, you did not see Meet the Browns, right?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So I have no idea how much Madea was in this movie.
Yeah, you didn't see it either.
No. Do you think it's going to win this weekend?
Hold? Second weekend?
Yeah.
Well, I think if you look at it, last weekend it was Horton Hears a Who and then the Meet the Browns. No, I almost said Madea.
Madea doesn't meet the Browns, just shows up in a car.
But Meet the Browns was second. I think it's going to be the same next week, this weekend, because if you look at it, like, Horton Hears a Who is in, like, 4,000 theaters, and superhero movie is only opening in, like, 2,700.
Mm-hmm.
So superhero movie is going to come in number three just based on the marketing and the fact that America is dumb and continues to go see these crappy movies.
Okay, go on.
No offense to anyone out there who lives in America, which is everyone. Except Canadian listeners.
Except for
the two Canadian listeners.
5 billion other people who don't live in America.
Right.
No.
That listen to our show.
Okay.
There's no way that people outside of America are listening to our show right now.
What do you mean there's no way?
No, there's no way.
There's no way.
But anyways, okay. So I think superhero movies coming in third, then it's going to be a repeat. Meet the Browns at two, and Horton Hears a Who is just going to continue to dominate. That movie is blowing everybody away.
It's a good
right
movie.
Now.
Did you actually go see it yet?
No, I still need to go see it. What did I see? Oh, I saw Doomsday.
Yeah,
and let me tell you how wrong you were about Doomsday. What a piece of crap that
I
was.
Like Doomsday. Doomsday.
It was so.
You had to just really kind of like Neil Marshall. You had to get into his stuff.
I like Neil Marshall stuff, but.
But it was Rona Mitra in hot,
the
tight
dialogue
pants.
Was terrible.
Exactly. All of his movies, the dialogue's terrible.
The action wasn't really that intense, and they passed out clean paper plates when they were going to eat the dude.
That bugged me, man. That's true. I didn't think about that. That's
like
awesome.
There's a guy that's eating. They're cannibals. They eat this guy, and the one guy's passing out clean paper plates. Like,
yeah, even though it's been like
here,
4 years or something
like
that.
Use your utensils. And then it's like, where... There's a chase scene towards the end where there's this brand new Bentley right out of the box
that's filled up with gas.
And they explain how they get gas because there's gas in the bunker too. But then the other guys had a car and they start chasing him. Where did they get gas? Is what I want to know.
Well, I mean, there's gas stations. Haven't you seen The Road Warrior? I mean, you're talking 20 years afterwards and they're still got gas. Haven't you seen Waterworld? They had enough to run.
You've gone all the way downhill because now you're comparing it to. Oh yeah, it was like Waterworld.
I'm not saying Waterworld was good, but they like it was like a so far in the future.
You can't use Waterworld.
It was
in your
so far in the
movie,
future
no.
that like the world's covered in water, yet somehow they still have enough gas to power jet skis.
I just don't know.
All right. Anyways,
I didn't like it.
This is what I think is going to happen. I think that superhero movie has a chance to take number one. Simply because it's a spoof and people love these things. I mean, look at Meet the Spartans, and it's done by the Scary Movie people, so it's actually a little higher level of quality.
It's a higher grade.
Instead
of
just
crap.
Absolute garbage, it's like the film on top of the garbage.
Yeah, it's poop with sprinkle cheese on top.
There you go, your favorite dish. then I think Horton is probably going to do that. I think 21 is going to be softer than they think.
Yeah, it's not a very wide release.
I think Meet the Browns is going to tumble a little bit simply because it's like the fourth strongest opening of Tyler Perry. So it's a strong movie, but compared to his other stuff, it's not really going crazy. I think Stop Loss, I will be surprised if Stop Loss actually makes it in the top 10.
You know what? I think it will make the top 10 just because it's an MTV movie and they're advertising the crap out of it on MTV. I'm sure. I don't watch MTV.
They advertised the same thing for Strange Wilderness, and that came in like, what, 14?
Yeah, but Strange Wilderness deserved failure.
Yeah, but no, look at every movie that's like about the war, about this, you know, all the. Because there's never a rah rah movie about the war. It's always this movie of like, oh my gosh, I have post traumatic stress syndrome and I'm hearing explosions in my head and I need to beat my girlfriend and drink a lot of beer and crash into a tree.
Yeah, it's not like Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, and it's.
Even though it was like brutal. It was still like a very feel-good movie.
Yeah, but ultimately, all these movies have just been bombing horribly.
Yeah.
And this one, I don't know what anyone wants to see this movie for.
Except for Channing Tatum and Ryan Phillippe. They're hot.
Well, there you go. See? And Abby Cornish, she's got one heck of a badonkadonk. Did you notice that? She can't do a Texas accent to save her life.
Oh, that was another thing that annoyed me, was the Texas accents, like...
But she had mud flaps on her, man. She was like...
The if you run down the accents, it was Ryan Phillippe. His was too thick.
Yeah, he was a lot taller than
he was too much. Channing like, Tatum didn't even try.
No, he just he was like, I'm from Harvard. Like,
yeah, some dude from the Bronx. And then Abby Cornish, because isn't she British?
Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know if she's
or
British
or like New Zealand.
She's probably from Texas, and we're like making fun of her. No, but yeah, hers sounded like a weird Reba McEntire clone.
Well, she reminds me of people like trying to do an Austrian accent, and they just talk totally like this,
and they just make their voice deeper.
Yeah, and that's how she talked. And she talked like Heath Ledger from Brokeback Mountain,
right?
Which I'm sure you had a very.
She didn't have a sex scene though, so otherwise it would have been just like Heath Ledger.
Just like Heath Ledger.
Sex scene. If she would have
taken Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. We're crashing and burning here.
Do you think Run Fat by Run's going to be anywhere?
I think it might make it in the top. I think it deserves to be fairly successful.
I think Run Fat Boy is going to do better than Stop Loss.
But I think it should absolutely do better than Stop Loss. I think people have been waiting for this movie. It was supposed to come out
a year ago.
Run Fat Boy Run was supposed to come out a year ago, and then it didn't, and then it's been delayed. And
well, it's on DVD in England.
It's on DVD in Britain, doing very well on DVD. They like it.
They did very well in the theaters.
And I really think that
they love that
Simon
fat
Pegg.
Boy.
People often underestimate the drawing power of Simon Pegg, or the gaining drawing power of Simon Pegg. Because I think Hot Fuzz's success was a lot on the fact that people knew Shaun of the Dead. They knew Simon Pegg, and he's funny. Okay, I'll go see it. And then they were pleasantly surprised. And I think that might carry over to a little bit of success for Run Fat Boy Run.
Do you think that people wanting to see Dylan Moran's butt?
I think
going to
that
be
Dylan Moran's butt is a highlight of the film.
And Hank Azaria's. There is a lot of male nudity.
There's a lot of male nudity in this. There, you'll notice.
You almost see junk in this movie, too.
I am not kidding when I say this, that the next few weeks, and we're going to do our April movie preview here in the next segment, in the internet-only segment, there is a lot of, for lack of a better word, penis coming up in the next couple weeks.
There's no better word than
forgetting
penis.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall has lots of it.
Okay. You say that with anticipation.
Well, I've seen it. I've seen the film, and I know you cannot
escape.
And I know
penises.
You cannot
escape
from this one. And Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay has not only some full frontal, but it also has Neil Patrick Harris, which is a win. So,
are you calling him a penis?
No, it's just a separate issue.
Oh, okay.
He's there. NPH. If NPH shows up in a movie, man. Plus, did you hear about this? How I Met Your Mother, where it was NPH, he's in the show, and Britney Spears was on there. Highest rated show like ever.
Because people wanted to see Britney Spears have a meltdown, and I'm seriously thinking, it's taped. This is not the MTV Movie Awards where she's gonna come out all fat and lazy, not stumbling off the stage and missing her music cues.
There were probably people sitting there like, man, I can't wait till she goes crazy. Not realizing that it's taped.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
They're idiots. It's like that woman we talked about this last year when I went to go see Last Mimsy.
Right.
Who was talking to the screen.
Yep.
This is about Stop Loss. There's this woman, very sweet lady. I've seen her at a lot of these screenings. She always lets me put my coat. She always puts her enormous purse.
She knew you because she was helping me save the seat next to me.
Yeah. Well, I was at Fat Boy and she was on the other side and she has a huge purse and puts it there and just... You know,
right,
if nobody's
she's
there.
A two-seater. She takes up two seats.
No, she's not big.
She's not big, but like she has her purse in one
seat.
Yeah,
she puts her... And that's cool if it's not a full sold-out screen. She always like, moves her purse over so I can put my coat there. She's very sweet.
Right.
But there's a couple scenes in a Stop Loss where they go off the guy like... When Ryan Phillippe's character's ready to, he wants to leave... and they won't let him. They've stopped lost him. He can't be discharged. And he's like, he starts ranting about Bush and going, oh, he's never fought in the war, blah, blah, blah. And she's next to me and she's like, mm-hmm. And it was like, mm-hmm. I mean, she's quiet through the whole movie, but during that scene, she's like, And then she picks up her drink. And she's like, yeah, she like cheers. She like toasts the movie.
Yeah. There are a couple scenes like that. The very over the top political, The rhetoric. And Timothy Oliphant was just annoying to me in that movie.
You know what would have been awesome?
He played the sergeant.
Yeah, yeah. He was their superior officer. Would have been awesome if he would have said yeah and then walked out of the room and like took off his fatigues and been wearing like a black suit with a red tie and a barcode on the back of his neck and just started killing people.
Right.
The most conspicuous hitman in the universe.
More movies should just mix in other movies.
Yeah.
Randomly.
That would be awesome.
You know, like if...
Well, I told you about like the bank job. No, it was a Vantage Point when they had that huge, this wicked cool car chase that's going crazy. And it would have been great if they're driving along and all of a sudden Jason Bourne, and they go, what?
Yeah.
You know,
like, you know, awesome. Or like if you're watching Juno and like the running team goes by and like Simon Pegg's running right behind him.
That would be awesome.
I think that we should start a movement.
They did that in Three Men. It was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Classic Steve Martin. Have you ever seen it?
Well,
Steve Martin movie. He goes racing for a cab, and he's chasing down Kevin Bacon from She's Having a Baby.
Oh,
they're
nice.
Both chasing for the same, and it's like right out of that scene. And they should do that more often.
They should. And you know what? Speaking of which,
they should consult us before they make any more movies. Period.
And pay us a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll keep doing the show though.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we can review them. We can be like, why'd they do that? That was stupid.
God, that's terrible.
Who gave them that idea? We did for 50 grand.
But there is one movie coming up that I'm excited about that is doing the cross movie thing.
Yes.
Iron Man and the Incredible Hulk have
Is the Hulk going to walk in and then walk out?
That would be kind of funny.
It would be hilarious if Iron Man blows something up and Hulk walks in and goes, Hulk smash! Just like crushes Iron Man.
So
he's like, that's not such a good idea.
Exactly. I can't wait for that.
Okay.
That's all. We have to announce our contest.
Okay, quick.
Well, we just forgot.
We've already talked. We already talked about 70 Show and Dungeon Siege.
Okay, and the last one is if you would like to see the Shine a Light documentary directed by Martin Scorsese. It's about the Rolling Stones. It's kind of like U2 3D, but it's the Stones.
But like Joe Pesci comes in and beats the crap out of somebody with a baseball bat in the middle of it.
Right. We are giving away on filmschoolrejects.com 10 free passes.
Holy cow!
10. And I believe they're for two each.
So technically 20 people can see this movie.
20 people can see this movie for free on us. We didn't actually pay.
Is it in Columbus or is it anywhere?
No, it's anywhere. And it's the IMAX only. So you have to have an IMAX near you. So if you'd like to get involved in that, head over to Film School Rejects. If you're a reader of our daily email updates, the RSS feed that we have where you sign up for your email.
And I'm not even
you're
that.
Automatically entered. If your name is Kevin Carr, you're never gonna win.
And I'm skipping the press screening because I have to go see Leatherheads.
Yeah. Oh, we might have to split that one up. I don't know. We'll see. Anyways.
strategy off.
We'll strategize at the break. We'll be back in a moment.
A hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
Now, Kevin, I think that it's time that we stop talking about all this garbledygook and get into.
Stop talking about movies.
We've talked about UFC fighting so far.
Yeah, and guys running around in tiny little pants and weird homoerotic and bear hugs.
And we've also talked about a lot of male nudity. So,
well, you're the one who talked about male nudity.
Let's talk about the movies that are coming out in April, since this will be our last show of March. And we have to do our April movie preview.
We have to, since we said we were going to. We have Russian shoulders with guns at us.
Well, we said we were going to last week, and we don't want to disappoint all four of our
UFC fighters
readers,
in tight shorts. Listeners. Saying they're going to beat us if we don't do this.
So we'll start with the first week of April, April 4th, which is next week's show. We've got Leatherheads, which is the George Clooney.
Well, just name
George,
him.
Yeah, Leatherheads. What do you think?
It looks like it's actually going to be kind of funny. George Clooney usually does well.
Okay, and John Krasinski's in it.
Yeah, and he was good in that movie, marriage movie, License to Wed.
Yeah,
that was a terrible movie, but he was funny, and he's funny in The Office.
It's about old school football in the 1920s.
I think that's going to be kind of one of the surprise hits of that week.
Okay, cool. And we've got Shine a Light, which we talked about.
What do you think of?
What? I think it's going to be all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shine a Light.
Shine a Light, which is the Martin Scorsese Rolling Stones doc.
Way too late. Who cares? Old people playing instruments.
Yeah. Keith Richards was way more cool when he was in Pirates of the Caribbean 3.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even that good of a movie.
To me, that's like that's the biggest kind of movie of like, why is Martin Scorsese doing this?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it comes out. Then we've got Nim's Island,
which I've actually seen.
Yeah, which has our buddy Gerard Butler in.
That's right. That's we got interviews with Gerard Butler for that.
Yep, for next week.
I think Nim's Island's going to be of April. It's going to be the kids' movie for April. It's a cute movie, maybe not for the older generation, but for the kids.
Right, because April, as we look, is really an adult heavy, and it's really stoner heavy, comedy heavy.
Unless you want to take your kids to see, is Peter Seagal's junk?
Yeah,
unless you want the kids to see Jason Segel. Male nudity. There's a lot of choices, but if you want your kids to see a cute little family movie, Nim's Island.
Okay. And then we've got The Ruins, which is a horror movie.
Actually, they're screening for us. It's late, but hey, we give them props, and it doesn't look bad. I mean, when it comes to horror movies, at least it's like something just disturbing and awful, and it's not just some weird guy with a knife cutting people up.
Right. Well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if I survive, because I'm going to see it.
That'll be fun. I'll make you eat a pizza.
We'll see next week.
Can we get a pizza?
For the show afterwards?
Yeah, why not? Sure. During the show. Sneak it in. We'll put it in your pants.
Okay.
You can eat that pizza. I'll pass.
Yeah, nice. And the last one I want to mention, it's a limited release, but we have Natalie Portman and Rachel Weisz and Norah Jones, the singer, in My Blueberry Nights. This is the one that Natalie Portman just looks totally trashy.
Are they going to make out in it?
I hope so. The poster looks hot.
The poster looks great, but Natalie Portman is like, oh, she's going to be nude in that Darjeeling Limited. And I'm like, she wasn't nude. She was like naked and her arms were covering everything. What the hell's the point of that?
So, but this one looks like it's kind of a sexy, cool movie. And I'm actually excited to see it. Hopefully we get to screen it. Hopefully it comes out in Columbus. But moving on to April 11th.
Well, it's MGM, so that's a quality flick right there.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now, we've got Street Kings, which comes to us from Fox Searchlight, Keanu Reeves, Forest Whitaker, Hugh Laurie. The guy from House in a movie.
Nothing says urban badass cop like
Hugh Laurie.
Like House.
And Keanu Reeves. So I don't know. The previews that I've seen, it looks like it could be just balls to the wall action, but I doubt it'll be that.
This is going to be like Gymkhana. Did you ever see that?
No.
It's about a guy who uses martial arts and boxing to fight crime.
Right.
It looks like one of these, like, this looks like the last Steven Seagal movie he made that comes out in the theater. You know, it's just, like, really trying to be cool and badass and just sucking.
Yeah, cool. also, on the 11th, we've got Smart People, which I saw at Sundance. Awesome film.
Yeah.
With, I tell you what's...
That's just because you're, like, inappropriately attracted to Ellen Page.
She's of age.
Yeah.
There's nothing inappropriate about it.
Well, there's something inappropriate about sending her locks of your own hair.
I have a lot of hair.
And I'm not talking about stuff from your head.
Oh, gross. Yes. Nice. But I tell you what sticks out to me as the best thing about this movie was Thomas Hayden Church is just phenomenal in it.
And I've heard you send him some stuff, too.
I've sent him all kinds of crazy
stuff. You sent him, like, toes from people that you've stolen.
Alyssa Milano's, like, too.
Yes.
We'll get to that movie. It's in here. The Alyssa Milano movie.
Okay, you disturbed
me. We've also got the remake of Prom Night.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, what do you
think?
There's
no way they're going to screen this one. You know,
No.
But it's got Brittany Snow in it.
But you
know
what? Screen Gems, they've been screening Screen Gem stuff now and then. Because they, like, screened The Covenant, and that thing was an absolute turd.
Yeah, I watched the trailer. I'm not too excited about Prom Night.
If I knew that Brittany Snow would be naked, I'd go see it.
Okay. Then,
I'm just being honest here, people. I get flames and crap all the time from people because they're like, Kevin Carr said this. Like, I did an article on Film School Rejects about telling the Hindus to chill out because they were going to protest the love guru.
And you, like, pissed off our one Hindu reader.
And there's some Hindu readers like, oh, why not? We should protest. I'm like, you missed the point, dude. The more you protest a movie, the more awareness you get. I just talked about it. I've given it awareness.
Yeah.
So...
whatever.
But I say what I say. Britney Snow naked would get me to go see a movie.
Right. You're a simple man to please. And I think a lot of America falls into that category where they're like, is there boobs in it? No? Oh, I'm not going to see it then.
Well, and it's like, is there nudity? Is it not like Viggo Mortensen's junk flapping around during a fight scene? Or would it be like Naomi Watts naked?
Right. That would have turned that whole movie on a dime. But it would have got nominated for less Oscars.
It's like Vito, he can fight in the nude.
Nominated for an Oscar. April 18th, moving along into the third week of this rather dry month. We've got 88 Minutes, which is not the movie with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. It is the other Al Pacino movie. It just looks...
It's going to be bad.
Really not that good. I'm sorry, but Pacino just doesn't have it.
Pacino, much anymore. His entire career now is... Ah! That's like his entire acting through everything.
That's it.
He's going to be like, he's like, I got to... Because he's like the guy with the blonde guy with the weird eyes is the serial killer.
Right.
And it's like constantly him going, you're going to die. And he's going, whoa, ah! That's the entire movie. Ah! Whoa.
Right. I think they should make an Al Pacino movie where Frank Caliendo plays Al Pacino because he does such an awesome, or like Kevin Spacey plays Al Pacino.
They should have like the three Al's.
The three Al's and have people that.
It should be Al Pacino. It's like being John Malkovich. It can be Al Pacino walking around and then like Frank Caliendo, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Tries to like steal his identity. And right. So he's there trying to catch a check. He's like, I want to catch a check. Hwah! And then Frank Caliendo can walk him. No, I want to catch a check. I'm Al Pacino. And then like they get in a fight.
Right.
And then somebody would show their junk and it would be released in April.
Right. And Harvey Keitel would show up.
It'd be like, yeah, way too much.
Way too much male nudity.
Way too much male nudity.
Also on the 18th, you've got The Forbidden Kingdom, which is the highly anticipated union of Jet Li and Jackie Chan. Isn't which this looks so stupid.
Is this a sequel to something?
No.
Isn't it a sequel to... I thought it was a sequel to something because I just got like a Lionsgate DVD and they like said coming soon to DVD and it was like the opening part of this with the kid.
I don't know. I don't think so. This is coming out in theaters.
This is how prepared I am for the show. I'm going to look it up while you talk. Tell me all what you think about it while I look up something.
I think it's going to suck. It looks terrible. It's got the kid from Snow Angels, the kid who plays the...
Well, he came from Sky High.
And from
Sky
High.
I call him because he was also Michael, in Lords of Dogtown and he sucks.
Michael Ingarano.
He doesn't suck. That movie sucked. Lords of Dogtown.
But he's good. So there's hope for it. But basically, it's about a kung fu obsessed American teen who
just
gets
like
transported
you?
To ancient China where Jet Li and Jackie Chan are fighting.
Here's my question. Didn't Jackie Chan like retire 17 years ago?
I don't know. He made the tuxedo with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Not Jackie Chan, Jet Li. He like retired. Like, he's like Cher. He retires and comes back.
His last epic.
He's just
back
like
in 1994.
Cher. He looks just like her. I can't tell the difference.
He does look like Cher. Yeah. He was also married to a guy named Sonny Bono. Weird.
He was?
I don't know.
That's so cool.
Moving on. There's nothing to say about Forbidden Kingdom. Until I see it and it proves me wrong, I'm not interested. Forgetting Sarah Marshall, though... was awesome.
You're very interested because there's male nudity.
There is, but that's not why. And it has nothing to do with the fact that I went to a party before I saw the movie that
and touched Kristen Bell and sniffed her hair.
Yeah.
You are so creepy, man.
Now I could send her locks of her own hair.
From her head?
Don't worry about where it came from.
Oh, my Lord.
But no, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, despite all of the penis shots that are in the movie, it's surprisingly funny. It really kind of caught me off guard because I was waiting for it to just suck hard, and then it was very smart.
And you saw penises, and you're like, "Whoo, suck
hard!" It was
hard.
It was very
that.
Smart, and I love the fact. And this is something you'll pick up when you go see it because you absolutely should. Is that the
herpes?
No, Kristen Bell's character is basically just a parody of herself in real life. You know, she's on a TV show that gets canceled. She's in a bunch of crappy horror movies.
She's got some fat guy with a beard chasing her down.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's you.
Yeah, she's got this film critic that just won't leave her alone, that she doesn't return his calls.
You know what's going to happen? I'm going to see this movie, and I'll come out and be like, because always, whenever we see a movie, for those who don't know, this publicist, like, the next day always emails us and says, what do you think? And so...
Right, because they really care what we think.
Like the movie Funny Games, yeah. I, like, just went on this tirade, and I'm like, I'm sorry, Amber, I hated it, you know? Because yeah. I'll do that. I'll be like, I'll like, tell this, like, scathing review. I'll be like, well, I thought it was terrible
and
stupid.
And then
I go, hope that helps, little smiley face emoticon. But what they're going to do is they're going to send me the thing. I'll be like, what do you think of Forgetting Sarah Marshall? I'll be like, there wasn't as much penises as I was really expecting. Because Neil Miller built it up as the penis movie to see in 2008.
The other thing that you have to watch out for in this movie, getting off the topic of penises.
You're getting
is,
off penises?
Is Russell Brand, the British pop star who plays a British pop star in the movie.
Do you see his penis?
No. But he's very funny in the movie.
Maybe you just took your penis out while you were watching it. And you were like, there's a lot of penises. And then like maybe Peter from Slash Film would be like, dude, it's because you have your penis. Your junk's hanging out.
Yeah.
Put that away. You've had too many Guinness milkshakes at the Alamo Draft House.
I don't remember a whole lot from South by Southwest, but I do remember that I stayed fully clothed.
You just know that there's a lot of penises in Austin. I saw a lot of penises.
I saw Harold and Kumar.
We'll come out of the movie. I'll be like, there's no penises in this movie at all. He's like, I saw them somewhere.
Yeah. Moving right along. What are we talking? Oh, Pathology is next. Pathology was a movie that I've already seen as well, which we'll talk about it later. But I will say, if you are twisted in the head and you like, if you're one of those people that really, really, really loved Saw for it, not because it was intelligently written or whatever, but just because it was like sick and twisted and a complete just mind, I don't know, it screws with your mind. Pathology is the movie you should be looking forward to in the spring.
Okay.
Because it is as twisted and sick as any movie I've seen in a long time.
I will say this. I've seen the Red Band trailer. And one of the things I said, because we know some of the people who are involved
right.
in the film.
We know people.
And I said, told you to pass this along to him. I said, there better be boobs in this movie.
Oh, there's boobs all over this movie.
There's boobs all over the trailer.
Yeah.
And what's funny is the girl, the redhead in it.
Lauren Lee Smith.
Yeah, I interviewed her out in Comic-Con. And she was just had her hair back. She didn't look that great, but wow, she looks awesome in the movie.
Yeah, she's very good.
And her boobs are in the movie.
Yeah, her boobs are in the movie.
That's awesome.
So, and lastly, on the 18th, we have Where in the World is Osama bin Laden. I know people don't like Morgan Spurlock. They some
because he's
don't,
an absolute
but
douchebag.
He is not as bad as Michael Moore by any.
Well, let's like sit there and say I got syphilis. It's not as bad as AIDS.
Right.
I still have syphilis, and I gave it to my wife.
But
didn't give AIDS to your wife. You're not going to kill her. I'm going to get killed.
I will say this. I love the fact that Morgan Spurlock makes almost tongue-in-cheek documentaries in the sense that they are fun to watch. This one, it integrates video game cinematography.
UFC is fun to watch, too.
There is a fight scene between a virtual Morgan Spurlock and a virtual Osama bin Laden that's pretty funny. And there's this cool thing that they do in the movie where when they mention a terrorist name, they come up with like a baseball card on screen and like they give the terrorist stats.
Clever.
It's very clever. So I thought it was really good. I saw it at Sundance. I almost went and saw it again at South by Southwest. It was, you know, it really just a really interesting documentary. And I think you take away from it whatever political statement you want. In the end, it's just kind of a cool. It gives you a lot of insight into what people over there, quote unquote, think about Americans, really think about Americans, and what they really think is going on. Like he interviews these two girls in Egypt on the streets of Cairo who literally thought that America was attacking Egypt.
Well, it's not
like
so it's our fault that you got dumbasses.
No, it's not our
Egypt
fault.
But it
just kind of shows like the way the public.
I mean, you can sit there and say to go to American high school and say who do we fight? When were we fighting the Nazis? And it'll be like Vietnam, and you'll be like, that's not the Nazis' fault that you don't know that.
Right, but it was.
You
it's
can't
kind
blame
of like,
the skinheads because people
it's
are stupid.
Like the way information gets, you know, gets to people.
I don't like. This is why I don't like Morgan Spurlock. He's too much like Michael Moore in the sense that he's so trying to be like him, and he manipulates things, and he doesn't actually do documentaries. He comes up with, "I want to prove X, Y, Z," like with Super Size Me. I want to prove that McDonald's sucks and McDonald's is ragingly unhealthy, so I'm going to eat it three meals a day, way more than anyone eats it, and then his blood goes crazy. And yet, at the end of the movie, if you watch the movie, at the end of the movie, with all the doctors who are monitoring stuff, they're like, oh my God, you should be dead now. Then his levels, all his chemicals all start to level out because his body gets used to what he's putting in
right.
and knows now how to process it. And just very at the tail end, they're kind of like, oh, you're starting to regulate yourself. But they cut that off, you know, and
right.
he's an idiot.
I like
guy needs
this
to
movie.
Be punched in the
I
face.
I think you should go see
he
this
He came
movie
to Columbus, Ohio, which is where we're from. He's like, I'm going to like try and live on 30 days on minimum wage. And you're like, nobody does that. Minimum wage jobs are for like people in high school.
And Mexican people.
No, they make less than that. But they don't have to pay taxes.
Oh, moving on. It's April 25th to finish.
Hey,
we don't.
You've said we don't broadcast in Mexico, right, anywhere outside of the U.S., so nobody knows.
The April 25th, which is the last week before Iron Man, which is
the last week before Maid of Honor, Patrick Dempsey.
Patrick Dempsey. But
which they already made once called My Best Friend's Wedding.
Right. It's just you flip it, and where Julia Roberts has a sex change, and she becomes Patrick Dempsey, which is pretty much how it would go if Julia Roberts had a sex change. No. She'd probably end up looking a lot like Patrick Dempsey.
No.
Or vice versa.
Patrick Dempsey sort of looks like he's constantly trying to do a Robert De Niro impression.
Oh, boy.
With his Julia Roberts hair.
Exactly. April 25th, we've got Harold and Kumar escape from Guantanamo Bay.
Can you talk about this movie without saying penis?
Yes. Neil Patrick Harris.
Penis!
Neil Patrick Harris is in the movie. He's awesome. His role is 10 minutes of the film, but it makes the whole thing. I will give it this. My good friend Peter from SlashFilm.com said it is literally the same joke like 8 times in the movie.
I think your good friend Peter from SlashFilm also said, Neil, will you put your penis back in your pants during this movie?
Stop it. But it's really, I think it at least captures a little bit of the fun from the first one. It's not the first one. It's not as good, but it was a little bit of fun.
You know, the so
I think people should. It's a good stoner comedy.
I'm kind of looking forward to it just because I like the first one. But this is a complete and total aside. Did you like? It never stopped me before. Mm-hmm. Do you ever see the? Do you ever watch the DVD of the first movie?
I have the DVD of the first one.
The best part is they have an interview with Neil Patrick Harris, and all he talks about is himself. Well,
I think he's one of those actors that is just hilarious.
Well, what's so funny is he's like talking about it. He's like, yeah, and so I like did some improv, and they like kept saying, you know, what's up, dude? So I'm like, hey, why don't you call me what's up, Doug? Because I didn't want him to do any Doogie Howser references, but now I did. And you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You have like 30 seconds in this movie where you're like drinking, you know, bourbon off a stripper's chest, and that's you.
Right. I think Neil Patrick Harris, though, is one of those people who has always been kind of a serious actor, but understands that he is just naturally funny.
A serious actor.
He is a big joke.
Whose like pinnacle of experience is like Starship Troopers.
Well, and Doogie Howser, MD. So,
it's one thing to go to a hospital and have like a doctor who's like 25. I mean,
I'd be freaked out.
What do you do if a 16? I don't care how brilliant the 16-year-old is.
Right.
If he walks in, I'd be like, no effing way. Get out of here, man.
Yeah.
Bring me an old guy who's a shitty doctor. But I don't want you. You could be the best, but you're 12.
Oh, jeez.
So, am I keeping you up?
Yeah. There's two more movies we have to go over. Oh, Deception with Hugh Jackman, Ewan McGregor. This movie's been in development forever.
I will say,
the poster looks exactly like Derailed with Clive Owen and Jennifer Aniston. So I have a feeling it's going to be just like that, and it's going to suck hard. moving right along.
I got a funny story about Deception. The publicist sent an email out to us this week, an early email, and it's like, I forget what the subject matter was, but it got kicked completely to my spam.
Oh, man.
because it was basically like, hey, are you free tonight? Kind of.
Because
it's all about meeting people anonymously online, and that's sort of how the email was structured. But it got completely kicked in my spam.
That didn't get kicked in my... Well, yeah. Anyways.
I'll kick you in the spam. Nice. That's going to be my new term. Now you can say there's plenty of spam in Forgetting Sarah Marshall and Harold Kumar.
There is a lot of spam.
Especially if you go with Neil Miller, because he takes a spam.
Apparently, I take my spam with me. But last but not least, this is actually my pick of the month. The one I'm looking forward to most is Tina Fey and Amy Poehler starring in Baby Mama.
You're an idiot.
I know.
You're a piece of spam.
Well, I've seen everything else, so it's like, this is the one I'm anticipating seeing.
And didn't they make this movie, and it was called the Brother Solomon?
No, this is got
to be. They just cut off their
that.
Spam
it
and put them back
to be
in the movie.
Smarter than that.
Tina Fey write it?
Tina Fey is hilarious, and I think she did write it. She wrote part of it. And it's about, she plays a single woman who hires Amy Poehler to be her surrogate.
But and she pees in her sink.
But Amy Poehler's hilarious. That's what people don't understand. It's like, sure, it's like the Brothers Solomon, but with two very funny leads. And it's Tina Fey and Amy Poehler who are hilarious together. So I don't think it's going to be dumb.
It's directed by the guy who wrote Thunderbirds.
Which is pretty awesome. Thunderbirds.
Okay. Thunderbirds? Okay. Yeah. And Undercover Brother.
Undercover Brother was a very underrated movie. Eddie Griffin is just misunderstood. So, all right. So what movie are you looking forward to the most in April?
Of all these?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I think April's going to be a pretty lame month. I guess I'm looking forward to Forgetting Sarah Marshall and Harold and Kumar, too. You've talked it up enough. Yeah. And I like Spam.
And you like Spam.
I'm going to go with you, and I'll be like, there's more Spam in the seat next to me than...
Well, I think at least in Sarah
and
Marshall...
And that lady with the big purse is going to be like, mm-hmm. Like, whenever Spam shows up on TV, on the screen, she's like, mm-hmm. That's right. Toast to you.
But in Sarah Marshall, you absolutely don't see it coming, and then...
I don't want to see it coming. You think, trust me, I don't want to see it coming.
You think you've gotten away from it? You have not escaped from it. It just comes back to haunt you.
Spam comes up and smacks you in the face.
There's a puppet show in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
With Spam?
No Spam. Okay. But there is a funny puppet show, but I won't give it away. Spam. So there you have it. That's our April movie preview. We should really be out of time at this point.
We should. Do you want to just do one quick fat guy sound
one,
off?
One sound off topic. This one, it's just fun to say. Is it Kate Beckinsale... In the press, I think last week, made a comment about the fact that she would rather eat a warm vagina than cold sushi, which I've always held that belief.
I would like to take Kate Beckinsale to a sushi.
Would also like to take Kate Beckinsale
with a couple really hot strippers.
Not with strippers, like Kate and Scarlett Johansson and myself.
Okay.
Why do you need strippers? When you can get other celebrity, this is my own fantasy. I'll take whoever I want.
Do whatever you want.
I don't need strippers. Here's, like,
but this brings up another thing. Would she eat a cold vagina?
I don't know.
Like if I don't know.
Well,
if
no, she said
an Eskimo.
The comment was like, a vagina would at least be warm.
Okay.
You know,
my Spam is warm. I wonder. Like, can we send?
We'll send her a can of your Spam. It'll be freaking awesome.
My kid's Spam.
Oh, so that was really our only sound off topic. We were going to talk about fanboys, but you know what? Whatever. If you want to learn about the fanboy situation, just go to Film School Rejects, because if I continue to talk about it, I'm just going to get angry because it's so stupid. And Stephen Brill sucks as a director, sucks at life,
sucks at Spam.
So, and Harvey Weinstein's a douche. So there you go. I think it's time to go to break. We'll be back.
Well, could I have a Spam instead of the baked beans, then?
You mean Spam, 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 and Spam?
Lovely Spam, wonderful Spam, lovely Spam, wonderful Spam, Spam, Spam.
Well, if this week you don't find anything to see in the theaters, which is a pretty good bet you won't, what do we have on the DVD front, Neil?
Well, my pick of the week is The Mist. It had the ending of the year last year.
You know what? I heard on the DVD that you've heard this thing that Stephen King has come out and said,
right,
that if you give away the ending of The Mist, you should be hung by the neck until dead.
Right.
I believe there's a special feature that you can... It can track you going to tell people the ending, and then Stephen King will personally show up at your house and hang you.
Yes, and I think we've already revealed it on our show, and I'm still waiting on Stephen King. I mean, everybody knows that it ends with Dakota Fanning showing up and teaching everyone the meaning of Christmas.
The true meaning of Christmas. Oh, wait, here comes Stephen King.
Oh, hey, there you are. But yeah, no, The Mist was a good flick, man. Tom Jane. DUIs and all. That guy rocks. So yeah. There you go.
Tom Jane's is to deal with more than just monsters from the
Mist. I will say that Stephen King's right about the end. It is absolutely terrifying and really, 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 really a very just twisted way to end the movie.
I thought it was like too purposely Mm. It was like a Deus Ex Machina all like turned around wrong.
Well, I can see where you could gather that, but really, if you just kind of let yourself fall into it, it really, really gets you.
What ending would have been better? If everyone would have showed up with Kate Beckinsale at a sushi bar.
Nice.
That's what I
and
think.
To understand that joke, you have to go back and listen.
To the internet only segment.
Really? Wow. That's we're good at teasing you,
that would be only. That would be a better ending.
It would totally be a better ending.
Oh my god, I would buy that.
I would even watch her and Marsha Gay Harden going to a sushi bar. Hey, it wouldn't be that bad.
Not a problem.
So,
What
was your pick?
Well, there's not a whole lot out there, so I have to pick The Kite Runner.
Okay.
And even though I have to say I didn't really like the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those movies that a lot of people talk about. I guess the book was really good.
It's really worth seeing.
Movie, it's about a kid who grows up in Afghanistan and leaves during the Soviet invasion and then has to come back and save his best friend's, his childhood friend's, his son.
Right.
From really awful stuff, which this stuff happens, but it's just I don't need to be reminded about it on movies.
It's always tough.
So
a couple other notables before we get to the stinker of the week. Wrist Cutters, which was a very talked about indie film.
Which is what you want to do after seeing The Kite Runner.
Right. And Walk the Line has a special edition out. Yes. Which one of my favorite movies of 2005. Walk the Line. Loved it.
I don't think it was your favorite movie.
It was one of them.
No, I don't think it was.
Batman was.
I don't think so. I'm just trying to push your own opinions.
Oh, anyways, what's your stinker of the week?
Oh no, I was gonna say let me throw out a shout out to Lost Highway. I thought that was one of the weird David Lynch movies that makes no sense whatsoever.
Do any of his movies make any sense?
Dune made sense,
sure,
and Blue Velvet made sense, and then he like started making movies that deliberately didn't make sense, like
right?
Mulholland Drive and
Lost Highway. To get people all weirded out,
yeah. But no, I liked Lost Highway. That's coming out. The stinker of the week I'm going to say is The Best of The Price Is Right.
Bob, I hate that Bob Barker guy.
What is? Can you really say there's the best of anything? I mean, yeah, there's the classic episode where the woman's top comes off when she comes on down.
Right.
But what are you going to be like? This guy won a car. That's the best episode.
Yeah. That's weird. What do you really?
How do you?
What are
they're
going for
all
there?
The same.
Yep.
That's like saying this is the best spoon in my drawer.
This one scoops the best.
Yeah, aren't they literally identical and stamped from the same mold?
Yeah, exactly. So
wouldn't it be great to be the one episode where Bob Barker punches a puppy? And it'd be like, get your pet spayed or neutered. Bam!
Look, if they had just like in between the episodes, they just had like Bob Barker infomercials like that.
Well, no, they'd have like some grainy home video footage of Bob Barker beating a chimp on the set of Project X or something like that.
See, now that would sell a lot of DVDs.
That would be odd. That'd be like Bob Barker bum fights with drunken chimpanzees.
But who's drunk, him or the chimp?
Everybody's drunk.
Nice. Nice, cool. Well, let's.
You know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see a UFC cage match with Bob Barker and Dr. Phil.
And we bring Mr. Rogers back from the dead. then he can referee.
Then he can. He'd be the chair. They just grab his smack him. You have Dr. Phil going, "You just don't love yourself enough." Smash with the dead Mr. Rogers.
Oh my god. there's nothing I can't say anything to follow that.
That
I'm
would
sorry.
Be awesome.
We should wrap up our reviews though,
sure,
and get these fine folks on with their lives if they're still listening.
Yeah. Thanks, Neil's mom.
Yes, thank you to my mom.
Sorry,
and my,
we don't
my
have any
brother.
Gerard Butler quotes in this.
Yeah,
episode.
She'll be back next week though because she knows Gerard's going to be on. So, but wrapping up, we had our first movie was Run, Fat Boy, Run, and you said
kind of rocked.
And I said rocks.
Okay.
Because I dug it hardcore. Then neither one of us saw the other movie.
Superhero movie. It's going to suck.
It's going to suck. There's no way around it.
Yeah.
And then Stop Loss?
Sucked.
I said kind of sucks. And then what was the last one?
21,
which I said kind of sucks, and you said
I think I said a full blown suck.
Full blown sucks. There was a lot of suckage going on. Next week,
spam.
We will be hitting you with Nim's Island. We will also be talking about Leatherheads, The Ruins, which we're going to see if I survive it, and Shine a Light, which is the Scorsese documentary about the Rolling Stones in IMAX. You can win free tickets on filmschoolrejects.com. If you'd like to get a hold of the Fat Guys at the Movies, you can go to fatguys@themovies.com. You can also email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You know we're on iTunes because that's where you're probably listening to us if you're not listening to us on the radio. And if you'd like to call us, 614-388-8735. That's all I have. Adios.
Fat Guys at the Movies.
Ooh, yeah.